Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We want to talk about a great selection of beer. They have imports, domestics, microbrews. Doesn't get any better than what they have there. And some great specials between now and Tuesday as you stock up for Labor Day weekend and stock up for the tailgate. Some of the specials between now and Tuesday at Brewers Outlet do include Bud and Bud Light 24-pack 16-ounce cans for just $16.98. Rita's All Flavors 12-pack, $10.95. Smith & Forge 12-pack, $8.77. Sam Adams Oktoberfest 24-pack, $24.95. And Yingling Oktoberfest 12-pack, just $10.95. Which brings up, it's not just beer, it's wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And that pickle bar is absolutely second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Ohio State last night gets on the board with Johnny Dixon's first career touchdown catch.
Breakthrough, meaning they've been close, but can we have that breakthrough moment?
Looking for it tonight, wide open across the middle, and there's Dixon again. Dixon to the 20! Dixon, touchdown!
Dave Fleming with the call on ESPN last night. Really good game, competitive game, interesting game for about 2.5 quarters plus, and then Ohio State just took over and won the game going away last night. They get Oklahoma next week. All right, Bellator MMA is coming to the Bryce Jordan Center on November 3rd. It's a Friday night, and tickets went on sale for today, and it marks the return of Phil Davis and Ed Ruth. Earlier today, I had a chance to sit down and talk with them and welcome them to the show.
Well, Phil, I'll start with you. You got into this. What did it take training-wise that was different than your wrestling life before this?
Well, you know, going from wrestling into MMA was a big step, just because it's not even the whole physical aspect of beating another person up, which is punching someone, I should say, which was brand new to me.
Yes.
Just going from wrestling, where I knew what I was doing, I had fully proficient in every situation, and going into MMA, I didn't know everything. I didn't know anything. I didn't know how to punch. Didn't know how to kick. Didn't know how to submission grapple.
You didn't do it when you won the 2008 national championship. There was no submission grapple.
You know, I think they should have had the submission grappling championship the next day. That
would
have worked.
They should have
get that started. But no, yeah. So I didn't have those skills. So it was a little tough going from so much confidence into a room every day, going into a place where I had no confidence of winning every day.
And then the 13 and 14 national champion, same story for you. I mean, right away, what struck you is, this is different.
That 4 ounce glove?
Yes.
struck you.
That struck me as different. At the same time, it was, just like Phil said, is you're doing something that you've never done before. I mean, like, I'm like stepping into a cage, and I'm not there to compete with wrestling wise. I'm actually there to like beat somebody up. I'm literally gonna put hands on this guy, and that experience in itself, it was just like, wow, okay, like I'm not a wrestler anymore.
Nope. Are there skills from your wrestling days that you use today, or is it all off the boards because of how different MMA is?
I mean, like, well, wrestling, it dictates whether you're going to be on the ground or not.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're fighting, is like the only time I'll ever use wrestling if I ever come in contact with you and, you know, we're tussling. But other than that, you're really, it's all with the striking and everything. And then once you go down, it's all about jiu-jitsu and submission and just staying in control. And that's where wrestling really helps you out.
For the two of you, were there mentors along the way that said, okay, this is how you have to do it and why you have to do it once you get in the octagon?
One of my biggest mentors, actually Phil's one of them.
Yeah.
Phil,
another big mentor. I don't know if you guys saw, that was a single tear that just fell my eye.
I know. I could see the emotion at the Phil Davis, for the first time in the 15 years I've known you, that you're almost speechless.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah, he was one of my mentors. So was Cormier, actually. I would send him texts. Actually, he texted me right after I won my third national championship, and he was just like, he was texting me and staying in contact with me. And after a while, I just kept gravitating towards him, and you know, I started asking him, hey, what do you do for this, what do you do for that, and I kind of been picking his brain.
I mean, you win three straight national championships, and then of course you won yours before he came here. You win your three straight.
Alright.
What, you have to make a decision as to what to do. So why did you go this route? What attracted you to saying, you know, that will be?
Well, I did make the Olympic team.
I know that.
That was one reason.
Right, I understand.
Other than that, it was just more like, you know, I started doing it and I enjoyed it. It was when you do something and it feels right, and I started fighting and it just felt right. When I was wrestling, it was just like I was wrestling, you know, this was right for right now. And then once I started fighting, it was just like, okay, I could definitely go gravitate and just kind of go into this right now, because obviously I could still use my wrestling mindset and I could still use things that I have from wrestling and I could still take it with fighting. And you know, it was just like I couldn't go any other direction. I was just like, man, this is perfect.
Phil, what about you? What opened the door where you said, because you had to make the decision earlier than he did.
Right.
And you probably paved the way for him to get into this in terms of the idea of it. So what attracted you to it?
You know, I really love competing. I just love competing in sports or in just in life. And I graduated on an Olympic year, and I knew right away I did not want to win the Olympic gold as bad as other people wanted it. Yeah. Other people wanted it more. And you have to be honest with yourself. What do you really want to do?
And the Olympics, it should be pointed out, that really is an older man's game. The Olympic freestyle wrestling is an older man. Is that fair?
It really is.
It is. Yeah.
It is. Most guys typically make the team around 28.
Yeah, that sounds right.
28.
Somewhere between like 30. It's about 35.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there is about normal for most guys. You'll have your random phenom guys. You know.
Well, around your time, it was around that. Now we have
a little bit younger.
Snyder.
They are the anomalies.
Jordan Burroughs is I think he was like 23.
He was 23.
Yeah. So I'm
The
ages
that's three
are
guys.
Going
that's
down.
Three guys, including Jaden Cox, who you didn't mention. I'll give you that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He was Jaden Cox.
I'll give you that.
Just so you know, Ed, he did not wrestle for Charlie Spidell in the 50s. Okay. So it wasn't a bygone era.
Right. How about that?
But what opened
when I was wrestling for Bill Cole. Crying out loud.
But you saw the attractiveness of it and the possibility of staying in something that was competitive that fits some of your skill set, right?
Right. And MMA was just a great fit. And I saw some guys that had a lot of success that came from wrestling background. And I was like, man, you know, this could be a lot of fun. And I think I have what it takes, and I'm willing to dedicate myself to this. And I'm willing to put all my eggs in one basket. This is no longer about doing this for sport. I'm willing to do this and be the very best at it. And that's something I can put all my heart behind. Wrestling, don't get me wrong, the Olympic gold is a special thing to win and to capture. But in my mind, in my heart, I just didn't want it anymore. And there's something to be said about living that Olympic dream. I've been broke for 5 years while I was in college,
yeah.
And I wasn't interested in living. possibly 4 or 8 more years of my life trying to make this team.
Ed's laughing to the point where I think he empathizes with what you're saying.
It's crazy because when you're chasing an Olympic title wrestler,
yeah.
People don't understand. It's a whole different sport. It's like you're a college wrestler. You do it folk style. Now you're doing freestyle.
Right.
Rules change. Everything changes.
And in Russia, for example, they're superstars.
Oh, my.
They drive the big cars, the whole deal. That doesn't happen with American wrestlers.
No,
here.
Not with wrestling here.
No.
Still in a Nissan.
All right. A proud sponsor of Penn State football.
I'm still Uber. I'm Uber.
Now, I realize that the question I'm going to ask is about a guy that's in UFC.
Sure.
But what did Conor McGregor, just going out there with Floyd Mayweather, did that do anything as a plus for MMA, or was it a negative for MMA?
I feel like we may disagree on this.
It can go both ways. I mean, like, the one thing that I did not like was the fact that everybody thought that Conor McGregor was going to go in there and be the boxer who was like the best boxer ever. And though the guy does talk a big game, and he makes people believe, he's a very inspirational character. But at the same time, it was like, you're going to fight the best boxer ever, and you can't really go into another discipline. It's just like what I was saying. It's like folk style and freestyle. I mean, like, it's two different sports. It's like two different rules. So when I go overseas, now all of a sudden my style has to change. That's the same thing. I mean, like, he steps in, his style has to change.
Yeah.
And obviously, you can see that even though he's a good fighter with MMA, you go into a boxing ring and you change a couple rules and you take away a couple of his tools, he became a different fighter. He became an average boxer.
Yeah. Do you have a different opinion at all there, Phil, or is it about the same?
I think I agree. Yeah, I think I agree. I didn't think he was going to say that, actually. You know, I think MMA only really wins in the fact that it was an audible loss.
It's going to take place, obviously, in the Bryce Jordan Center on November 3rd, a Friday night. We're looking forward to that. And tickets start at just $25, reasonably priced, available at the center box office. They started selling this morning at 10, Ticketmaster as well. And sell the place out because you are now involved in what people would feel is a growth sport. And you must sense in the places you go it's becoming a growth sport.
Oh, absolutely.
Fair enough?
Absolutely. It's growing in every demographic.
And I kind of wanted to mention this, too.
Yeah, go ahead, Ed.
We were in the same car before, but this one means way more to us. It's just like, now it's like, not only are we the same car, you know, we're back at our alma mater. It's like, this is great. You know, it's like,
it means
the whole full circle.
It has come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
He's Mr. Wonderful. You are billed as Ed Ruth.
They keep calling me Easy Ed. I mean,
Easy Ed.
and, you know, after a while, I kind of fed into the name. You know, they call me Chad. You know, so recently, Dark Cowboy.
Okay. Well, how do you feel about Miss One?
What do you not feel for Mr. Wonderful? He's a great guy.
He is. He always has. He always has been. I got to give him credit, too.
He's wonderful.
You guys are too much. You guys know how to make a boy feel special.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you're both Pennsylvania guys.
You guys are just trying to pump me up and wine and dine me. I know what's coming next.
This is what we do at the restaurant.
I know what's coming next.
Yeah, that's what we do here at the tavern. We wine and dine you. Have a good time.
I know what's coming next.
Yeah. Oh, you're looking for the fastball inside of the chin. Well, it was an absolute pleasure. The two of you carved out some time to come down here and be with us.
Thank
and
you.
Hopefully we can get a huge crowd in there for you on Friday, November 3rd, to see the two of you come back home and get the job done. So, appreciate it very much. And thanks for everything, all the thrills you gave all these fans here.
Oh, thank you.
And you're national champion.
Honestly, it means so much to be able to give something back to all the fans that support us over the years in Red Call.
Yeah.
So.
And they did in droves.
Oh, my gosh.
In droves. Yeah. Guys, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Ed Ruth, Phil Davis.
Yep, joining us on the show today. Great to hear from them. Phil, of course, won the national title in 2008. Ed won 3 titles in 2012, 13, and 14. 2 of the all-time greats in Penn State wrestling history, now in MMA. They're going to be in the Bellator MMA at the Jordan Center on Friday, November 3rd. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
just so you know, we had to do the interviews on location today and send it back. So if the quality was not to the usual standard in terms of sound quality, I apologize for that. But we also thought it was really important because there are so many great wrestling fans in our area that really appreciate what Phil Davis and Ed Ruth did in their respective careers. We wanted to make sure we got the interview on. So it may not have been the grade A 100% in terms of sound quality where it's got that deep, rich sound to it, but I think it was enough for everybody to have a general idea of what the two young men are doing right now. So today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is indeed second to none. So what are the games we're picking in the next half hour? I think Colorado State was a late add, if I recall.
Yeah, we will lead off with that. And then we'll have, of course, tomorrow's matchups, Michigan-Florida. Maryland-Texas. I thought that was kind of intriguing since it's Tom Herman's debut with the Longhorns. It's prime time tomorrow night. No-brainer, Florida State-Alabama. And then we'll pick Sunday night's rivalry game between West Virginia and Virginia Tech. Two rivals, though, that haven't played each other in quite a while.
Well, we'll be having a discussion about that 10, 20 years from now, saying, hey, two rivals that haven't played each other in a while. Texas, Texas A&M. Maybe saying, who knows, might say the same thing about Penn State Pitt. Basketball, Missouri, Kansas. I mean, these games aren't played anymore. It's a different time. It's a different era. Doesn't mean it's a better time or a better era. It's better in some ways, and in some ways, no. But part of progress along the way is sometimes part of progress leads to something that you don't have what you used to have, like a rivalry game like this. We'll get more into the Penn State Pitt situation next week, but I said distinctly last year, Sean, before the Pitt game, that the Ohio State game was a more important game to Penn State than Pitt. And my reasoning was just simple. Penn State plays in the same division with Ohio State. Penn State needs to beat Ohio State in order to have a shot to win the Eastern Division title, in order to get a shot at the Big Ten championship. Pitt is an important non-conference game. And yes, it's a rival, no question about it. But which game in reality has more importance to it? Well, it's the Ohio State game. It's the Michigan game. You know, in this era now, Penn State's about to begin its 25th season in the Big Ten. Those are the important games. You play Indiana. It may not be sexy to say you play Indiana, Maryland, Rutgers every year, and then you got Iowa, Northwestern, and a home game with Nebraska. But those are your conference games now. And from a national point of view, Penn State, Ohio State, and Penn State, Michigan has much more cachet than a Penn State Pitt game does. I'm just talking overall, and just so you understand here, I'm not putting down the Pitt series in the least. I'm just explaining in today's world the reality of it. That is the reality of it. You want to win your division. You want to win your conference. Unfortunately, beating Pitt does not accomplish either one of those goals. Beating Ohio State and beating Michigan are two important steps you have to take to achieve those goals. And from a national point of view, Penn State lost to Pitt last year. Did you hear any commentator in the run-up to the college football playoff announcement or in the post-mortem of the college football playoff announcement mention the loss to Pitt? No, they all mentioned the loss and the margin to Michigan. They never mentioned the Pitt game. And what vaulted Penn State to national prominence? It would not have been a win over Pitt. It was a win over Ohio State, because now you beat one of the perceived top teams in the country, which also happens to be in your division, in your league. It's just different times. Now, any game that you play that's in front of you that week, the old, it's not a cliche, it's a fact. It's the most important game that you have. Penn State cannot play Pitt tomorrow. They have to play Akron tomorrow. And being a prohibitive favorite, they just have to go out and take care of business and not stumble, which makes it an important game. You just, in this sport, the margin of error is very thin. Can't afford stumbles. So you go out, you play Akron tomorrow, then you concentrate in the next one. But it's just the way everything is now, 25 years later. Penn State's going to embark on its 25th season in the conference. The dynamics have changed. For younger fans, it's no big deal. For older fans, it's justifiably a difficult adjustment. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And time now to stock up for your tailgate and stock up for the Labor Day weekend at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Great specials between now and Tuesday. And those specials do include Bud and Bud Light 24-pack 16-ounce cans, $16.98. Rita's, all flavors, 12-pack, $10.95. Smith and Forge 12-pack, just $8.77. Sam Adams Oktoberfest 24-pack, just $29.95. And Yingling Oktoberfest 12-pack at $10.95. It's all at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Time now to start picking some games. Sean's there along with the defending champion.
He is back. He is back.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
Well, let's get to the games. Tough day today. Tough day today.
Oh, God. I'm working on a job on site, and I'm installing these panels, and it's going really well. It's a local gym, and I finished the job, and I'm really proud of it. It's in a shopping plaza, so I leave. I go and load all the tools and stuff back in my truck, and very meticulous about it, and I said, I'm all set. And I had a $50 bill in my pocket. And I said, oh, wow, a dollar store. So I figured I'd go to the dollar store and buy an item for a dollar and give them a $50 bill. Ha, 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 you know. I reach in my pocket. It's gone. I'm like, no way. Now, and I had it when I was in the building. So now I'm hunting for the $50 bill, and I could not find it.
Wow.
So, no dinner tonight. We're going to have to get the fishing poles out, honey. We're going to have to catch dinner. So
there you go.
Yep. So, hi, honey. I'm not home. So, anyway, that's it. Outside of that, good day. So, I'll just charge the guy $50 extra for the job. child psychology.
Sure. Yeah.
Did you see the game last night?
The game went about the way I thought it would.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the team I'm going to see, Indiana. They're pretty good. So.
Well, I'd said on the show yesterday, as Sean knows, that I thought it would be a very good game for 2.5 quarters, then Ohio State would pull away.
Indiana's pretty good. The coach was taken back. He started crying at the start of before the game. He was crying on TV. I was like, why are you crying, man?
He's an Indiana high school coaching legend. A lot of people have great respect for him. So
yeah.
Probably coaching the Indiana University football team meant a lot to him. But here's the issue that Indiana has, and it's a 180 from what an Ohio State fan thinks. An Ohio State fan, because they are so conditioned to rooting for winning teams, some of them great teams, an Ohio State fan is conditioned to waiting for something great to happen. An Indiana football fan is conditioned waiting for something bad to happen and the floor to fall in.
Yeah.
And in the third quarter last night, that happened.
Yep. I was not impressed with Ohio State. I only saw the first half, so Big Brother was on. Great. You guys got to watch Big Brother.
Nah,
oh, my God. Oh, come on. Why don't you like it?
I just have a very small window of free TV time that I have, and I just it gets soaked up by sports for me anyway.
Yeah, me too.
So.
But Big Brother's like a sport. Anyway, my wife loves it, so it's like a Super Bowl when it's on, and it's
all
on
right,
three
well,
nights
here's,
a week.
Here comes the Super Bowl of picking. Here we go.
All right. Hey, with all this Big Brother and Judge Judy, Steve, that he's watching. This could be our chance. We got our end.
He did the same thing last year, and we still lost.
That's true.
I watched Big Brother and Judge Judy last year. Now I do my homework. I'm ready to roll. In it to win it, baby. Okay.
Well, we'll start out with a game that actually is just a few hours away, 3 hours away, tonight, Friday night, 8 o'clock, Colorado State in Colorado. Good luck finding it on TV. It's on Pac-12 Network.
Ooh. Who's first?
The defending champion.
Yeah.
All right. The Rocky Mountain Showdown. I'm shocked this year how many great games there are to start the season, but this is a good game. McIntyre's a great coach. He's got his running back returning. They got a good defense. Colorado State's good, but not quite there yet. I got Colorado by 4.
I also have Colorado. I think they'll. I guess that's the key. You know, that's the burning question. Are they going to be able to continue this year what they did last year? But we'll take the Buffs here out of the gate.
Colorado State. They'll go into Denver. I think they'll win the game, and I think it does not hurt Colorado State that they played last week.
I didn't know that. That's not fair. Okay.
Yes, I know. The fact they put it on national TV, probably threw people a wrench.
That's what happens when you watch too much
the
Big Brother.
Race.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got Colorado State. Okay.
Yes.
All right, on to the Saturday games. Tomorrow, high noon, the debut of Tom Herman for Texas. Texas with 3 losing seasons in a row. Will Tom turn it around? And opponent number 1, the Maryland Terrapins.
Randy Etzel destroyed Maryland. Destroyed their program, and it's going to take them years to rebuild it. I think Texas is going to run all over them. Texas has got a lot of guys coming back, 10 defensive starters coming back, 7 offensive starters. I got Texas by 50.
By how? 50?
50.
You're saying Fitty Burger?
Fitty Burger. 50, baby. They're going to blow them off the field.
I'm thinking if there's one upset that can happen this weekend, I think it's this game. I'm going to take Maryland. I think there's just going to be so much pressure in that stadium tomorrow, just waiting for a great performance and a phenomenal start. I'll take Maryland.
All right.
Why not?
true. Who knows who's good?
I'm going to go with Texas. I just think playing at home, I think this is too much for Maryland. I think this is a 3-touchdown game, but it's all said and done. And it has nothing to do with how good Texas is or Tom Herman. I just think at this point, Texas has more talent.
All right, we got Michigan and Florida.
I got a free spin. Okay. Suspensions are going to hurt Florida. I don't know what's going on down there, why they don't have discipline in their team. Florida's offense is already anemic from last year, and they really haven't done anything to make it any better because the players are suspended. You got two good defenses and two subpar offenses, but I think Michigan is a better team with better athletes. I got Michigan.
Yeah, that blew me away when I saw the stat. Most games, Florida stays under 400 yards total offense. That, and even during a few of their successful years, going back, close to a decade. But yeah, the 8 Gators that are suspended, I think, and that's tough to overcome. So I'm going to take Michigan too.
It's up to 10 now.
Oh, it's
wow.
10. This has taken all the shine off of this game. I think going in, it was, okay, let's find out how good Michigan is. When the game is over, we will not know how good Michigan is. Florida's really depleted. Yet here's the odd thing. I actually think this is going to be a lot closer game than people realize, but I will pick Michigan to win it.
I think Michigan's offense has got to kick in. Nobody really knows how good they're going to be. You know, if they can offensive, run the ball, and their defense is excellent. But
offensive line is good. Tight ends, not so sure. Wideouts, not sure. Good but not great running backs. Really good fullbacks. Quarterback, not a big fan.
Right.
So we'll save the marquee game for last. So we'll flip quickly to Sunday night. 7:30 game Sunday night, ABC in Landover, Maryland. A couple teams that haven't played in quite some time. West Virginia and Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech is the one team that gave Clemson fits last year and could have won the game, come within 20 yards of winning the ACC championship against Clemson. Got a lot of guys back. It's going to be a defensive battle. The Hokies got a better defense. I do not like West Virginia anyway, so I'm taking Virginia Tech.
Well, you got Will Grier, who transferred from Florida. Justin Crawford's back. He ran for about 1,200 yards last year. Yes, they have great high-powered offense. I'm going to go with West Virginia.
I don't like either team, to be honest with you. But I'm going to pick Virginia Tech. And the reason is this. I just don't trust a Big 12 caliber defense playing in a non-conference setting. Big 12 defenses are Big 12 defenses. They give up a lot of points and a lot of yards. And I think Bud Foster's defense for Virginia Tech is better than Gibson's defense at West Virginia because it's an ACC defense versus a Big 12 one. I mean, who in the Big 12 plays quality defense? I see nobody. I'm going to go with Virginia Tech.
And we go with a 5-star matchup for Week 1 college football tomorrow night in Atlanta. Number 1 versus number 3, Alabama and Florida State.
Well, Jalen Hurts. I think he's the difference in the game, and I think he's going to win the Heisman Trophy also. And I have Alabama not winning easily. It's going to be a good game, but Alabama's just a better team all the way around. And we'll be playing for the national championship again.
Seminoles have lost 3 starters on the offensive line from last year. And a name you're going to hear a lot is Cam Akers, who is a very highly recruited running back. We'll see how that happens and how he gets his collegiate career going tomorrow night for Florida State. But, yeah, Kevin, will Jalen Hurts improve as a quarterback? You already have him winning the Heisman. I'm just curious how he's going to improve.
Well, he went to Peyton Manning's school. That's how.
Okay.
No, Manning said he did very well, and he made big improvements. So And the kid is just a great athlete, and he's a winner. So, intangibles that you can't coach.
I'm going to go with Alabama.
I'm picking Florida State.
Oh!
Yes. No, sorry. Go.
I think the better quarterback plays for Florida State.
Really?
I mean, that's the thing. Will Jalen Hurts improve from last year?
But I think the other kid is a better player, regardless of whether Hurts improves.
Really?
I think everybody has jumped on the Alabama bandwagon. They are very talented. They're extremely well coached. I know that. But it's not as if Florida State doesn't have talent. They got a lot of talent, too. And I think they've got the kind of quarterback that will give Alabama some problems along the way.
You're right.
And I'm going to go with Florida State to win.
You're right.
I mean, I know the easy pick is Alabama. I know that. But just I've got a gut feeling, and my gut may be thrown out into the garbage by 11 o'clock pick on Saturday night.
Wait a minute. That wasn't an easy pick. That was a hard pick.
I'm talking about for everybody across the board nationally, it's an
games.
Easy pick.
No, Alabama's just a very good team, you know.
I use the suit dartboard.
I just didn't. I mean, yeah, it's easy just to come out and say Alabama. It just seems like you're ingrained to pick Alabama every single week just because of their, you know, track record and Saban's record overall at Alabama's 119-19. So yeah, it's just picking those spots when you think Alabama's going to drop one, and it's okay. When is the week I'm going to bite the bullet and not take Alabama?
And they're very smart teams, too. Think about it. They're playing a game now that really won't hurt them later. You know, first game of the year, so either team loses, it's not that big of a deal. And who's Alabama really going to play the rest of the year? The SEC stinks. They're going to roll through that, and so if they pick up a loss tomorrow or Sunday, whenever,
it's tomorrow.
The first game of the year, and the committees will write that off, you know.
Well, yeah, they'll also give them credit for playing each other.
Huh?
They'll also give them credit for playing each other. In fact,
exactly.
Hey, look, you went out and played them.
Their computer numbers and all that, they played a ranked team, but they played them when it didn't matter, and that's just smart, you know. That's just smart organizations. So what's the bet this year?
Wow, I didn't even think of that.
Neither did
Double
I.
Double or nothing? You got another wedding?
Yes.
I think at the moment we're stalled on weddings.
Okay.
But you never know. I still have one more child that's single.
To collect my winning dinner, I had to pay $350 for a hotel room, drive 750 miles. And
yeah, but you
buy
left
a gift.
But you left State College with the best pickles on the planet. So
that's right. Yeah. I got the pickles. So that was my pay. So
I don't see what the issue is.
hey, this is the issue. Is you weaseled out of the bet? That's the issue.
No.
Come on. I invited you to my daughter's wedding. That's okay.
I'll be honest with you.
You would have invited me anyway.
That's probably true.
True. We have to invite him. I owe him a meal. That's funny.
To be honest with you, I completely forgot about the bet.
I know. I'm only kidding. I
literally completely forgot about it.
I know.
I've been a little busy, but
the bet's a pickle. I bet you a pickle.
Can I pick the place?
Yeah, the place that sponsors the show.
Exactly right. Every team. He's getting the hang of radio now, Sean.
It took a year, but he's good.
No.
Very good.
I like the pickles. I bring the pickles up every week.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. But I really like the pickles. I'm not making that up. They were good.
When Bob Uner's on, he brings it up all the time. You know, the suit only does it for free food, but I mean, you know, other people.
No, we bet the pickles, but we're all in on the bet.
Yeah, we're all in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're all in.
So the winner gets 6 pickles, second place gets 3, and the loser's got to buy them all.
If that's fine with me. I'll go with that.
That's an easy one for me.
Yeah.
All right, now.
And don't forget, Sean come down to the last game last year. It's not like I ran away with anything. We come right down to the last weekend. Remember that?
Trying to point out who finished last?
Yeah, you were involved.
Well,
you were out of it pretty early.
What you're trying to say is...
Well, based on some of the picks I made this weekend, I might be out of it after week one.
Here we go. Here we go. NFL Network reporting Brock Osweiler has been released by the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He won't be the last big name release because all the cuts are coming at once.
That's right. By 4 o'clock on Saturday, yes.
High school football coming up tonight. This is what we have for you on News Radio. Well, we'll start with this. Selins Grove will be at home against Montoursville tonight. 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6 o'clock the airtime at Eagle 107. Sean will be on after the game on Eagle 107 as well with the scoreboard. Then we go to the Valley 100.9. Lewisburg will be at Central Columbia, 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime. Tomato Bowl tonight is Warrior Run against Milton at Milton tonight on WMLP and here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You'll have Shikellamy at Mount Carmel. Kevin and the coach on beginning at 6:30 tonight with a 7 o'clock kickoff. Tomorrow on Eagle 107, 6 o'clock the kickoff, Bucknell and Marist at Mathewson. 5 o'clock will be the airtime at Eagle 107. And, of course, Penn State football tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK at noon. Airtime is set for 10:30. All right.
Great call tomorrow, my friend.
Yep, we'll come back. Wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Thanks to all of our guests that are on the show this week, including John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, Jack Hamm, Terry Bowden, among many others. Phil Davis and Ed Ruth today, Audrey Snyder today as well. We thank them. We hope you're enjoying it. I know we're enjoying bringing the program to you very, very much. We're back on Tuesday following Labor Day. Big week coming up next week, obviously. We'll recap Saturday's game. Tomorrow's kickoff is set for noon. Jack Hamm, Derek Williams, and I on the air beginning at 10:30 tomorrow morning outside the Jordan Ticket Center. Today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, I'm Steve Jones. Thanks for joining us.
This is WKOK Sunbury.